The Christian faith is not boring.
Pastor Jonathan Fisk talking about his new book, Echo, Unbroken Truth Worth Repeating Again.
The Christian faith is so stunning and radical that it's amazing to me that we have our children sitting in pews and classrooms yawning and bored with it. And all I could do is say that we've got to figure out a way to repeat this thing, to echo it again, and really reawaken our imaginations to its truth.
Learn more about Echo by Pastor Jonathan Fisk at issuesetc.org.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
One of the things that we've often criticized is kind of the Sunday school version of telling the narratives, the stories of both the Old and the New Testament. You will note sometimes in Sunday school curricula that there's the story. It has its bare outline there, but all of the rough edges have been kind of sanded off. The details that, well, would make an honest reader say, wow, in this case, Jacob seems like kind of a jerk. And the people around him seem that way, too. And they're lying to each other and deceiving one another and making false deals, breaking their word with one another. Sometimes that doesn't make it through the filter of the Sunday school curriculum. Well, part of the task we do when we teach a Sunday school lesson here on Issues, Etc. with Pastor Tom Baker is we try and keep all those edges intact so that, well, the story can be told as it is because there's a purpose to all those edges, all that kind of messy stuff that's in there when stories are being told, like the story we're going to tell during the next half hour, the story of Jacob's family in Genesis chapters 29 and 30. Pastor Tom Baker joins us on this Tuesday afternoon. He's host of a radio show, Cold Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Thank you.
Jacob and the rest of his family, indeed, most of the characters in the Old Testament and the New Testament, don't always come off as very admirable, especially Jacob and his relatives in this case. Why doesn't the Bible depict these Old Testament saints in a better light?
That's a really good question. And my first response would be its answer is really from a long gospel point of view. Every other religion in the world has a God who takes care of you when you are obedient to this God, when you give him proper sacrifices or whatever he asks for. The Bible isn't about, believe it or not, Adam and Eve and Abraham and Jacob and all of the characters in the Bible. The Bible is all about Jesus and the way of salvation. The way of salvation is through faith, not through obedience. In any other religion, if you're talking like Muhammad, I mean, if you read the Quran, what a wonderful person he was. No wonder Allah takes good care of him. But in the Bible, the true God makes promises, and regardless of the characters to which he makes the promises, he always keeps them. So in reality, when we read the Bible and we hear all these terrible things the family is doing, we actually are comforted by that fact because we realize we have a God who's going to take care of us and keep his promises regardless of our actions. And in fact, in this lesson, the growing in Christ material makes a very, very good point. And I think that's really what it's all about. It says that regardless of the family's behavior, by God's grace, God keeps his promises. And they give all kinds of examples where a Jacob, for example, deceived his father and his brother. His uncle Laban deceived him in marriage. Jacob did not get the bride of his choosing. He dishonors his unloved wife. And there's jealousy between Rachel and Leah. All through this, God is still keeping the promises he made to Adam and Eve, to Abraham, to Isaac, and now continuing through Jacob. As the 12 tribes are born from four different women who are married to Jacob. And I have in my hand right now, it's a little noisy, but Concordia Publishing House was selling a tremendous banner that starts with Adam and Eve at the top and goes all the way down to Jesus. There's about 400 names on this banner, Todd. And the one right down the center, of course, is where Jacob takes over. Jacob is the line through Isaac and Abraham that leads to Jesus. And what son does Jacob have that continues to lead to Jesus? It's the fourth son born, namely Judah. In fact, just a couple of weeks ago, we talked about how when Adam had a son, Cain, and then Abel, neither one of them are the line to Jesus. The line instead started with his next son, Seth, S-E-T-H, and it continued through Methuselah, Noah, all the way to Terah, Abraham, and now Isaac has Esau and Jacob. Jacob becomes a continued line, and his son Judah, all the way down to Joseph and Mary. And if you take a look at every one of these characters, they are sinners to the core. There's not one of them that's not a sinner. Even Joseph, he gets that coat of many colors, and he kind of like brags about it. And of course, the rest of the brothers get so angry at him, they sell him into slavery into Egypt. But that also God uses in his plan to bring about salvation. So if the Bible had characterized all these people as good folks, we would get the impression that God loves me when I am good, when I make a proper stewardship of everything that he has given me. And that is a false view of God. So God, when he has the scripture written, puts people the way they really are. I mean, David, just think about David. He sins with Bathsheba. In any other religion, he would have been destroyed. Not only is he not destroyed, but he continues the family down to Jesus. He's forgiven his sin, as Nathan the prophet reminds him. And we suddenly remember every Sunday morning when we confess our sins and the pastor absolves us, not by his own power, but by the authority given by Jesus. And so we don't want pastors talking about what a wonderful congregation they have with no sinners in it, because that's not true. That's not the church. And this is why Christianity is totally different than every other religion in the world.
So tell us the story of how Jacob, who is a deceiver himself, has practiced some pretty monumental deception, is in fact deceived in his own exploits to come by a wife for himself.
Yes, the reason he's named Jacob is the word means heel grabber, which he did when he and Esau were born. He grabbed a hold of Esau's ankle, trying to get out first. But the name also means deceiver. And, of course, he deceived Esau by getting his birthright for a mess of porridge. And then he agreed with Rebekah to lie to Isaac that he was really Esau, and he got the main blessing. But then Esau so hated him, he was going to kill him. So Rebekah told him to go where she had once lived, to Laban, and find a wife there. And that's what Jacob did. So he went, and when he found the family, right away he fell in love with Rachel. And an agreement was made that if he would work 7 years, he would marry the daughter. Well, after the 7 years, they had a marriage, and at night they slept. It must have been dark, because in the morning he realized it wasn't Rachel, it was Leah. And her father said, no, the reason I did that was because we always marry off the oldest first. But if you promise me to work another 7 years, you can marry Rachel in 1 week. I don't know why I didn't know that, Todd, but I thought he had to work another 7 years before he even married Rachel. But no, yeah, 1 week after he married Leah, he was able to marry Rachel, but then he stayed another 7 years as part of the agreement. This chart that Concordia Publishing House puts out or sells is amazing, because under Leah, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of the sons born. Under Rachel, there's only two of them, Joseph and Benjamin. Well, where were the other four? Well, Rachel was really jealous of Leah, so she gave her maidservant to Jacob, and from them, they ended up getting Naphtali and Dan. And then Leah got jealous and gave her maidservant, and Gad and Asher were born. So you had all 12 born under four different women. All were with Jacob. But the main one, that, by the way, was the fourth son of Leah, was Judah. And it is that line of Judah that leads all the way down to Jesus. Remember, we go through Ruth, who married Boaz. They had Obed, the father of Jesse, the father of David. And he had Solomon. And it goes all the way down the kings until Joseph and Mary. It's a marvelous chart, and I hope they're still selling it. It's called the Adam and Eve Family Tree. Must be about 400 names on here, but it really helps to see how each of the other sons had many in their family. For example, Levi, it's through Levi that Moses came about. He was a Levite. And so you learn a lot with this chart, but I can't think of one of them that wasn't a great sinner. And so to get back to your question, God works through sinful families to accomplish his deeds. And that's an important point the Sunday school teacher needs to make to the children, because they are disobedient. They don't always obey their parents. But hopefully there is forgiveness in the family. The parents continue to love them. And we got to keep reminding them that that's a picture of the true God for these children.
We're teaching a Sunday school lesson, Jacob's Family, in Genesis chapters 29 and 30. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest, host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. When we come back, we'll talk about the intrigue, conflict, rivalry, jealousy in Jacob's family. Here's an Amazon review posted today about the issues, etc., book of the month for May. Echo, Unbroken Truth Worth Repeating Again, says, "This is the best devotional book I have read in a long time. It's great because it simply echoes the words of Scripture back to the reader." Find out more about Echo, Unbroken Truth Worth Repeating Again at our website, issuesetc.org. Or call Concordia Publishing House and order Echo by Pastor Jonathan Fisk, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. We'll be right back.
Thanks to generous supporters, tuition for all incoming residential pastoral ministry and deaconess students at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, will be paid in full. Hi, this is Dr. Lawrence Rast, president of Concordia Theological Seminary. Learn more about studying for the vocations of pastor or deaconess in the 2018-19 academic year at ctsfw.edu.
Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. You can promote your confessional Lutheran church and support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining our congregational sponsorship program, the Issues Etc. 300.
We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. You'll find an informational flyer on the support page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline, the Issues Etc. 300.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
An average of 20 military veterans kill themselves every day. Project Operation Barnabas is a network of LCMS congregations who reach out to veterans and their congregations and their communities with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces. Serving those who serve. LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. lcms.org/armedforces.
Children are a gift from God, a rich heritage, a precious trust. They are sinners, baptized saints, little brothers and sisters in Christ. It is this beautiful vision that shapes our daily work as parents and grandparents, teachers, pastors, mentors, and friends. And it's this vision you'll see shining through every article in this month's Lutheran Witness magazine, The Gift of Children. Subscribe today at cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Holy Trinity Bach Choir of New York with the Easter hymn, Alleluia, Jesus is Risen, playing right now at our 24/7 sacred music station, Lutheran Public Radio. LPR follows the church calendar, so you will continue to hear sacred Easter music until Pentecost Sunday. You can listen absolutely free 24/7 at LutheranPublicRadio.org or on the LPR mobile app. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson today, Jacob's Family, Genesis chapters 29 and 30. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. He's host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, this is obviously Old Testament polygamy. This is a mess, I think we'd call it by any standard, both then and now. This is a family that is especially beset by intrigue and conflict and rivalry between the mothers and the wives of Jacob as well, jealousy there. Talk about that with respect to Jacob's family.
The thing that theology has to do is to be very practical. What that means is one thing to learn what a Bible verse means. It's another thing to put all the similar concepts together systematically. It's a third thing to see how history used these Bible verses, as our confessions do, pointing to the church fathers. But then we finally get down to brass tacks, and that is, how do you make this practical to the people in the pew? I don't know, and I've had a lot of congregations, I don't know of any families that were perfect in the sense that there was no sin. For a while, I was in a congregation. It took me almost 4 years before I realized every family did have some sin. The more you get to know them, the more you get to know where that sin is. The fact is that this is a great message to people in the pew. We're going to be having a baptism this Sunday. I am not going to say to the parents, well, once you have your child baptized, that child is never going to sin again, never going to cry, and never going to be complaining. No, they continue to be sinful, but because they are baptized, they're now part of a new kingdom where God forgives their sins, takes care of them, and uses the parents to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The Lutheran Witness has a wonderful article about how the culture has changed from just 30 years ago, that we're now in a situation where morality is out the window, the talk of God isn't necessary. It is so important that the Sunday school realize its importance in teaching children that there is a Creator who loves them, who died for them, who is with them at all times, to get them to think against the onslaught of the devil that they'll start hearing if they attend public schools or public universities and read much or listen to much, which is on television. It's a great article in the Lutheran Witness, and it helps us to see how things are different than just a few decades ago. We don't have that common thinking of God that this country had even just 30 or 40 years ago, where it was just obvious that if there was going to be a marriage, it had to be between a man and a woman. Well, guess what? That's no longer the case. So Sunday school, particularly in light of the degeneration of parochial schools. What I mean by that is fewer and fewer children are going to parochial school. Sunday school has become a most important area to focus on what God is doing among sinful families, because it is exactly what he did with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Talk about the fact that God never approves of the sin that we see in the lives of these patriarchs. It is still sin, 100%. As we read in the Sunday school curriculum, his promise, his intent, his purpose is never derailed by that.
That's a very important point to make. In fact, just recently, somebody was asking me, does God forgive the sins I do in the temporal realm? And I said, no, there is not forgiveness in the temporal realm in the sense of as in the spiritual realm. In fact, here's what Jesus says in Luke 6, verse 38. For with a measure you use, it will be measured back to you. What is he talking about? Well, when one family member lies or deceives another, he or she can expect the same treatment in return, and it becomes a vicious cycle. The only thing that breaks that cycle is Jesus, the forgiveness of sins, where we repent of our sins one to another and receive that forgiveness. This is extremely important to get across to the Sunday school teachers, because when you pay for your temporal sins, that doesn't mean God isn't forgiving you. It means that the consequences of temporal sins have not been taken away by the cross of Christ. But what has been taken away is the eternal punishment in hell for what we do deserve, which we will never pay, because he paid for that eternal punishment on the cross.
Someone would likely ask, does that mean that, you know, if I want to model my life after someone like Jacob and practice deception with my brothers, my father, and I'm willing to be deceived as well, turned out okay for Jacob, that this is somehow licensed to do that?
Yes, very good point. I am sure when we meet Jacob in heaven and ask him, would you have changed anything in your life if you could look back and see it? He would have said, I would not have been deceiving as I was. In fact, we can see individuals like Saul, who actually was a murderer of Christians. Look at how much he changed when he came to know Christ. He still did not have a perfect life. He taught himself about being the worst sinner in the world, but he had a different perspective. And I think all of us who have been Christians all our lives, we can say, you know, I can remember when I was a kid, the sins I did. I'm not doing them anymore, but I've got a whole new set of sins that the devil has thrown at me that I have to work out of and ask for forgiveness for. We are always going to be sinners because we always have an old Adam. But we also have the oldest message the world has ever heard, said to Adam and Eve and said to every one of us, that there is a Messiah who came to take away the eternal punishment of those sins. And that's the more we learn about the cross, the more we learn about the resurrection and the ascension, the less likely we love to sin. And much of our behavior can be changed, but never this side of heaven perfectly. That's why we need to look at our baptism each and every day to remember the promises God gave to us through the baptismal waters.
With a few more minutes here, Tom, the whole story that we've been talking about that begins with Adam and Eve also begins with a case of deception. In this case, Satan deceiving Adam and Eve. They willingly go along with that deception, so the responsibility is there. But Satan is called a liar and a deceiver. Does even that have the power to derail God's promises or his purposes for us, his children, through Jesus Christ?
From before the foundation of the world, Ephesians says that God had already elected those who would be in his church. So, being omniscient, he knew that Adam and Eve would fall into sin, and he knew that many would fall with them. But his promise was to restore creation. And that's why Jesus is referred to as the Redeemer, the one who buys us back out of the slavery of the devil. Jesus himself says, I came to destroy the work of the devil. And he does that by taking upon himself the punishment that should have been ours. And everyone who trusts that promise is saved.
What is the simple law and gospel for the Sunday school classroom in this story of Jacob and his rather dysfunctional family?
The law is, for each child, you know when you deceive your brothers, your parents, how many times you do something wrong. Who did that? Not me, not me. And yet the gospel is, in spite of that sin, God will continue to keep his promise in blessing you and all the family, giving all that you truly need, as well as the forgiveness of sins for the sake of his son, Jesus Christ, who died so that we will never really die.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. We will post a link to Law and Gospel under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Next week, Pastor Baker will join us to lead us in a Sunday school lesson on Esau and forgiving his brother Jacob. We'll talk about that next time with Pastor Tom Baker. Tom, thank you very much.
And thank you.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll talk with Aaron Wolf of Chronicles Magazine about the relocation of the U.S. Embassy to Israel in Jerusalem. These families of the Old Testament are not simply Jacob's family or Abraham's descendants. They are, in fact, the children of Adam. So should it surprise us that we find them behaving exactly like their first father does? No. But from the children of Adam also comes Jesus, our Savior, to redeem every last one of them. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Hey, Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore. Thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority, they've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. Thecleaningauthority.com.
Trinity Orchard Farm is settled between two rivers, showing the way to the water of life. For worship that is reverent, relevant, and refreshing like pure water, or for excellent education in a unique setting, check out our church and school. We're just 5 miles north of Highway 370 on Highway 94 in St. Charles County. Visit us on the web at trinityorchardfarm.com. That's trinityorchardfarm.com. Our phone number is 636-250-3350.